Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we do come before you right now thanking you for just the opportunity to be your kids. We thank you that we get a chance to serve you. We thank you for just your son Jesus going to that cross and dying for us. Lord Jesus, thank you for shedding your blood for our sins. We know that we are so far from the men and women that you want us to be, that you desire us to be. But your grace, your mercy, it's amazing, Lord. Thank you for wooing us with your love. Holy Spirit, I ask right now that you would enter in. And just do your work. Do the work that only you can do. I thank you for allowing me just to be a vessel. But I pray, Holy Spirit, that you touch hearts. You know those who are hurting right now. You know those who need you. Come in and do your work. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, my name is Chris Johnson. I'm stepping in for Pastor Miles. He's taking a well-deserved rest. They just talked to him a little while ago. So he's enjoying this Sunday. This morning I'm going to talk to you guys about discipleship. As I asked them, the first group, when you hear that word discipleship, a lot of people tend to close out. I've heard that before. I'm fine. I'm cool. But I asked this morning that you open up your eyes and, more importantly, open up your heart. It's going to be a two-part process. I'm going to be talking to those who are believers. It's going to be a challenge for you. And then I'm sure there are many here who have never made that stand, never taken that step to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So if you're taking notes, the title of the message will be, What Does It Take or What Does It Mean to Be a Disciple of Christ? What does it take or what does it mean to be a disciple of Christ? If I'm a non-believer here today, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, then you need to know what it takes to be a disciple of Christ. If you're here today and you are a believer, then I want to help clarify what exactly it means to be a disciple of Christ. To be God's son or daughter, it's very, very important that we as believers, that we understand what that means. I'm going to read, first I'll give you guys a definition. Disciple, I'm sure you heard it before, follower, teacher. The Greek word translated disciple comes from the verb to learn. That's going to be the big challenge today. Are you willing to learn more about your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Are you willing to learn more about your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Later on, I'm going to challenge you guys to take on more of his character. That's how the world's going to change. As we start taking on more and more of Jesus' character, in turn, we go out into the workplace, and we go out into the world, that's how we'll change the world for Jesus Christ. I'm sure you guys have heard before that we are to be a witness at all times, speak when necessary. So how are we going to witness if we aren't speaking? It's going to be through our life. It's going to be through our lifestyle, how we carry ourselves. That's going to be the challenge today. Let me read a story for you. It's about discipleship back during Jesus' day. A disciple attached himself to another to gain practical or theoretical knowledge by instruction or experience. It was a word used of apprentices learning a trade as well as students, a teacher's philosophy. Discipleship was a popular concept in the Jewish religion of Jesus' day. Customarily, disciples left home and moved in with their teacher who provided their food and lodging. The disciples became the teacher's servants and were under his total authority. They were to learn everything the teacher knew, becoming like him in character, and were to later faithfully transmit this to others. Every member of ministry, you heard that before here, right? It's not about Pastor Miles, not about the pastoral team. It's about every single person sitting in here in a chair that's a member of this church. Every member a minister. Every single person here that belongs to the Rock Church, you have the ability and the authority to go out and share the gospel with anyone who you see. Have a couple questions from that story. Have you attached yourself to Jesus to learn the trade of soul winning? Have you attached yourself to Jesus Christ to learn the trade of soul winning? That's what we're here for, right? The Bible is very clear. This is not our home. Amen? We're just here visiting. This is not our home. Our home is in heaven. We have a nice fat crib waiting for us. It's called a mansion. That's waiting for us in heaven. So we have to be careful on how much time we spend trying to gain the things of this world. Have you attached yourself to Jesus Christ so you can learn the art of soul winning? That's your purpose as a Christian. Today, if you're a believer, that's your purpose. If not, you have opportunity at the end of service to get on that team, to learn what it means to win souls. Second point, have you left home to move in with Jesus? Have you given up everything to move in with him, to learn of him, to have his character become part of your character? That's what it's about. Remember, that's what's going to change the world. As Jesus comes inside of us and he takes control more of our life, we're going to change the world. Third point, Do you trust he will provide all of your needs? All of them. It's kind of hard to take on his character if you don't trust him. Do you trust that Jesus can take care of every single thing that you need? If you lost your job tomorrow, you walked in. As a matter of fact, I had one of my coaches. I coach at Horizon High School as well as I teach Bible there. Walked in Thursday, found out he had lost his job. Never seen it coming. Never seen it coming. You never know he lost it, though. He was still smiling. Oh, yeah, Chris, I'm not worried about it. God's going to provide. I'm like, whoa. Man, can you imagine you going to work tomorrow morning? Hey, we don't have a spot for you. Wait, what about my kids? What about my family? I got to feed. I got rent to pay. Do you trust that Jesus has your life in his hands? Point four, does Jesus have total authority over you? When we come to Christ, what we say, two things. A lot of people miss this. We say that he's our Lord and Savior. Lord, I mean, he's master. Whatever he says goes. Savior, we want that part, right? When I sin, he forgives me. The bloodshed covers me. But before you can get to the Savior part, he has to be Lord. Very clear. Is he master of your life? Does he have total authority over your life? We're supposed to be in constant fellowship with him. You don't have to close your eyes and bow your head to pray. You can walk around praying. You can drive and pray. He needs to have total authority over your business decisions, over your family decisions. Does he have total authority? That's what he wants. It's not an if. That's what he wants. He wants to have total authority over us. Are you his servant? Are you his servant? Are you laying your life down to serve him? That's what he said. The King of Kings, Lord of Lords, God in the flesh. He said, I came to be served, not to serve, right? That's what he said? No, amen, sister. No, he said, I came to serve, not be served. I came to serve, not be served. That's our job. I was over here in the back, and I watched John Leader, one of the pastors here, go and get a mop and just start mopping. I see another pastor come get some paper towel out of the bathroom and start wiping the floor. This ain't the best of floors, is it? But they're here to serve. They're here to serve you. As I was looking out watching you guys, I was like, Lord, man, why do you have me here? It's a blessing just to be here to serve you. I'm not here to preach to you. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to grow along with you. What a blessing that is. We have to take that heart, though, into the world. That's what our Lord and Savior did. He was here to serve people. Remember when he was on that cross? Never sinned, ever. Never, ever sinned. They was pulling his beard out, hitting a crown of thorns in his head, spitting in his face, mocking him. He never did anything wrong. Never did anything wrong. Lord, forgive them for what they do. They know not what they do. That's our heart. But so many times we get pushed to the edge and we want to retaliate. Bible says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. We have to take that character out into the world. That's what's going to change people. Remember, we're talking about discipleship. What does it take? What does it mean? Last question. Are you willing to become like Jesus in character and transmit this character to others? Are you willing to become like Jesus in character and transmit this character to others? Remember, these are six simple questions that came from the story that I just shared with you about what it was like to be a disciple in Jesus' day. That's changed today, right? It has because we changed it, not because God changed it. His requirements of a disciple has never changed. Check the Bible. Jesus said, I'm the same today, yesterday, and forever. So it's going to be a challenge for some of us. Maybe some of us may think that we're in and we're not in. Amen. Humble yourself like Peter did. Right? Denied the Lord three times. Denied the Lord three times. Figured out what he did. Oh, man, I blew it. Judas, on the other hand, he didn't humble himself. He decided to take his life. Remember, I'm talking to believers and non-believers. You could be in church every single Sunday. You can be in Bible study every week, twice a week. You could be a leader of a worship team. And maybe you still don't belong to Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the true meaning of discipleship. Is it a super Christian? No. I teach high school kids. Sometimes they hear the word disciple, they think, well, that's a super Christian. That's a good Christian. You guys heard that before? Well, he or she is a good Christian. No such thing. There's no such thing. Not from God's eyes. Maybe in our eyes, there's no such thing. When he sees a Christian. He sees those who are covered by his son, period. That's why we're able to fellowship with him. The blood of Christ covers us. Even in all our inadequacies, all our iniquities, the wickedness that we commit as Christians, when he sees us, the reason why he's able to have fellowship is because he sees the blood of Christ covering you. So either you have the blood or you don't have the blood covering you. Here we go. Now I'm going to give you the points. What does it mean to be a disciple? I'll give you four topics that I hit on today, and then we'll run through them. First, you have to accept the invitation. It's called, God calls you to be a disciple, as he did with Peter. That word called means he invites you. Will you accept the invitation? Today, if you're standing here or you're sitting here, you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He's just using me. He could use this planet if he wanted to. He just chose to wake me up this morning to talk to you guys. He can use anything he wants to. But the whole point of the message, he's inviting you to be his child. He wants to love you. He wants to show you what it's like to walk in his ways. But it's an invitation. I'm sure you've received invitations to birthday parties. You receive invitations to weddings. You have a choice, correct? A lot of people don't like that, but you have a choice. Either you can accept or you can deny. That's what I place before you today. Will you accept the invitation to be Christ's disciple? Not super Christian, his disciple. Second point, after we talk about the invitation, we'll talk about knowing the cost. There's a cost. There's a cost. There's going to be some things you have to give up. You can't continue living your life the way you did. If that's the case, you wouldn't need a Savior. There's a cost. You have to think about that cost. You have to be willing to count that cost before you make a decision. The Bible is very clear. A man cannot put his hand on the plow and look back. Once you make that decision for Christ, it's straight ahead. You're living for him. Third point I'll cover is you have to be willing to love Jesus more than anything. You have to be willing to love Jesus more than anything. That's anything. As we get into the scripture, you'll see even your family, your wife, your mother, your father, anything. Nothing can come in the way of your relationship with Jesus. Today, sometimes we allow a job schedule to get in the way of it. For those of you who are single, you allow a boyfriend or girlfriend to get in the way. Nothing, if you're going to be a true disciple of Christ, can get in the way. Nothing at all. We'll search the scripture, though. Don't take my word for it. Always listen to the word of God. And last but not least, we'll talk about how we must deny ourselves daily. Daily deny ourselves. It's a daily job. Okay, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Let's talk about that invitation. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 through 22. That's a good sound. I mean, you guys have your Bibles. Amen. Word. I didn't do that, huh? Paper with pen. Matthew 4, 18 through 22. We're talking about the invitation. This is Jesus talking to some of his believers. Here's a story. It goes like this. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, it's very simple. If you guys had a red letter edition, very simple statement. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. He could have stopped right there. That's what I'm getting at today. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. I'm going to take your occupation. I'm going to change it. You can still be a fisherman, but along with that, you're going to be a fisher of men. I don't care what you do, what your occupation is. College student, high school student, you work in the computer industry, I don't care what it is. Your job as a Christian is to be a fisher of men. If not, your perspective is jacked up. The Bible is very clear on that. We're to be fishers of men. Then check it out in verse 20. Look at their response. They waited 20 years later. Oh, my bad, I can't read. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father mending their nets, and he called them. And immediately left the boat, their father, and followed him. Right there, bam. You call Jesus, I obey. We're talking about true discipleship. True discipleship. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10. That's the invitation. Matthew chapter 10. A little bit of Bible aerobics. When I speak, we're going to travel through the scriptures. But I want you to know that it's the word of God. I'm not up here making this stuff up. Know the cost. So here it is. The invitation has been placed before you. My brothers and sisters at the Rock Church, the invitation is here. Do you or do you not want to accept me as Lord and Savior? That's what Jesus is saying to you. I'm inviting you. It's a nice party. It's a nice wedding. It's going to be live. One of the best. You think La Jolla is something. You think Del Mar is something. Rancho Santa Fe. It's going to be off the hook. Don't miss out. Are you ready? Yeah. All right. Let's go. But I want to let you know it's going to cost you a little something. You sure you still want to come? Okay. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16 through 22. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. As sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as a serpent and harmless as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. 21. Now brother will deliver a brother to death, and a father his child. And children will rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. Here it is. Don't miss this. But he who endures to the end will be saved. There's a cost. You're going to be hated by all by my name, for my name's sake. You're going to go through many trials, many tribulations. Parents, your kids might even start hating you. You want to change your life? But mom and dad, that ain't how we used to do it. Well, you're right. Jesus entered my life. Kids, you might be in a situation where mom and dad not saved. Now I guess you all holder now. No, I'm not holder now, but Jesus is inside of my life. Are you willing? It's going to be a cost. Are you willing to be hated by all? Remember, they schemed to find ways. Before they put Jesus on the cross, they were scheming to find ways to make him to make him do wrong. They were scheming. They're trying to catch him in tongue twisters. They were scheming. Same thing is happening to you today. Same thing. Only thing you have to do is be obedient to God's word, and you'll persevere. Are you willing to pay that cost? Your job can't be more important. The car that you drive, the house that you live in, nothing can be more important. Whatever Jesus says, we must do. No matter the circumstances, we have to do it. We have to be obedient to him. And check this out. The Bible is very clear. A lot of times, God will allow your heart to be tested so you can see where you are and so he can show you where you are. He'll test your heart. That's what trials come for. Trials produce character, right? They show you what kind of type of character you have. Only thing God will know, hey, are you willing to be obedient? I got it. The victory is yours. I paid that price on the cross. I just want to see if you had a heart to follow through. I told you earlier, I'm a football coach. Just imagine that. I told my kids, every time they step on the football field, they're going to win because I already paid the price. It don't work like that. They can work hard all week long and still go out in that field and get their butt kicked. You know what I'm saying? We can practice all year long and still go 0-10. You already had a victory. Jesus paid the price for you. He just want to know, do he have some players who are willing to stand up, to keep on fighting, not quit? Can't stand quitters. Oh, can't stand quitters. Could last for a lifetime and more than one type of thing. God is telling you, I've given you enough to finish. That's a blessing. He's given you enough to finish through his son Jesus. Here's one, are you willing to stand? You guys familiar with Ephesians 6, right? Stand, soldier. Stand. Don't turn your back. Ain't nothing back here. Ain't no protection. Don't run. Just stand. I've given you everything you need. Did you count the cost? For those of you who are believers, did you count the cost? You might be going through something right now. Man, where's my God at? Okay, start calling on scripture. My God says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's there. What you going through this morning? You don't have him as Savior? You feel like your world's about to crumble? I'm telling you, he created the world that you think is getting ready to crumble. He's the God of the entire universe. Do you want him? Invitation. Count the cost. It's a big game coming up, ladies and gentlemen. Big game. You ready for the big game? Count the cost. Because when we get in the game, we can't have no quitters. That's happened a lot in Christianity. Oh, the church wasn't no good. The pastor wasn't no good. I'd never go there again. No, what about you? It starts right here in us. Count the cost. Talking about discipleship. What it takes to be a disciple. What does it really mean to be a disciple? For you believers, understand what you're in. Understand what you're in for. You'll be hated by all for his sake. You're not liked. Don't think that you are. The world doesn't like you. Don't care nothing about you. So don't try to appease them. But so many times we spend hours trying to appease people who we have no reason trying to appease. Amen? The scriptures already said it. You're going to be hated for all by my name's sake. Only thing you do is stand firm on the word of God and let him change people. You and me, we can't change nobody. It's the Spirit of God that changes people. But when we start being cowards, we start lacking courage. The word coward means when we start lacking courage, we don't stand a chance. We don't stand a chance. Are you a true disciple? What does it take? What does it mean? Turn to Matthew 10, 32. We'll read 32 through 40. Have to love Jesus more than anything. Have to love Jesus more than anything. Let's read the scriptures. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Excuse me. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me, there that word is again, is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. That's pretty clear, ain't it? I don't need to go on. I'll give you some examples, but that's what I love about the Word of God. White and black. I was telling the first service, that's how I am. I'm white and black. I don't like dealing in the gray area. When you deal with me, my players know. When they deal with Coach Chris, they're going to know exactly where they stand. I'm going to tell them exactly what I feel. I hate talking to people not knowing where I stand at. Do they like me? Are they just saying this? I don't like that. That's why I like the Word of God. He just said right there, what does it take to be disciples? Right there. You can't love anything more than me. Period. It's not going to happen. I'm going to go back to the story quite often. Peter and Judas. Peter thought he had it going on. He thought he knew what it took to be a disciple. And the Lord said, man, get away from me. You're more concerned about the things of the world than the things of God. Back up. Matter of fact, you know what? You're going to deny me three times today before the rooster crows. He did it. Can you imagine what Peter must have felt like? Oh, man, he was right. Remember when he was denying, he started cussing it. Bleep, 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 bleep. I told you I don't know no Jesus Christ. The third time he said it. Judas betrayed him for some money. So many people today betray Jesus for money. Don't even know they're doing it. You got a good job, live in a nice house. Anything wrong with it? No. What's the possibility? You got to check your heart. Check the tense of your heart. You could be denying Christ. The money that Judas denied him for, 30 pieces of silver, a shekel of silver, that was slave money. That's what they paid the slaves. Wasn't a whole bunch. Wasn't a whole bunch. The devil know what you like. He know just how you like it. You got to be careful. Matter of fact, our Bible and our God is so good, he told you about Satan's characteristics. If I'm going against an opponent as a football coach, I want to know why they call plays. I can watch film, but if I know why they call certain plays, they're in big trouble. Because when that situation arises, I know what they're going to do. That's how I defeat them. The Bible tells you very clearly that Satan is a deceiver. You guys know a deceiver? You've been around a deceptive person? That's the worst type of person to be around. Because they make you think one thing, and inside their heart, there's something totally else going on. That's what Satan is. He's a deceiver. You have to be careful. Where are you at today? Amen. No distractions today. The Lord got us. Are you guys familiar with the parable of the Great Supper? Remember, Jesus invited those to the Great Supper. He said, come on, come eat with me. And they had a million excuses. One, I got to go be with my wife. I got to go handle my cattle. That's today what he's saying to you today, especially for you non-believers. Anyone, he said, I want you. What's been holding you back? I want you, my child. But you can have no excuses. No, tomorrow's not good enough. When you get right, it's not good enough. Once you get that job, it's not good enough. Once you get married, it's not good enough. Today is good enough. Let me do all the rest of that stuff. Today is what I want. We're talking about discipleship. We're not talking about being wishy-washy. We're talking about true discipleship. Remember in the story I told you that the disciple would move in. The disciple would move into the discipler's house and take upon his character. Understand the character of the person who you claim to be a disciple of. Think about the pain that he went through. Think about the suffering that he went through, the ridicule. You got to think about that. Are you sure you want that? Because he said the things that he went through, you're going to go through them too. Are you sure you want that? It looks kind of bleak. But I tell you, for those who may be doubting it, in the end, it's called heaven. I'm going to say it again. This is not your home. You're just passing by. You're just passing by. This is your hotel room. You know what I'm saying? This is your hotel room. You know, you go to a hotel room, you don't make up the bed. You don't clean a toilet. You don't clean the mirrors. You know somebody else is going to come and do it. But we're trying to make this our crib. We're trying to make this our mansion. And the Bible is very clear. This is not your home. Bye, this is not it. You just pass through. Your job, your purpose here on earth is to win souls for me. Are you doing that? Is that the reason why you live? Is that your driving force? If not, you may not be a true disciple of Christ. I tell my kids all the time in class, I wish there was a big old red siren on top of the head of the kids who weren't saved. Because I'd be on top of them every single day. Hey, come on, you ready? The Lord love you. Come on. When I look out here, I don't know who's saved and who's not. You do. The Spirit is talking to you. You know if you're a true disciple or not. You know if you're doing the stuff right here in the scriptures. Today, as believers, we're on cruise control. I'm studying right now at APU, working on my master's, and I'm taking a church history class. What a blessing. I'm learning about two guys in particular. John Wycliffe and William Tyndale. They're the reason why you have this Bible that you have in front of you today. I'm going to speak of William Tyndale, just in case you guys don't know about him. He was responsible for making multiple copies of the Bible so that the common people could have the Word of God. Back in the day, it was all about the clergy. I would be the only one who could understand the Word of God. I would preach to you, and you'd go out, and you just walk out. You wouldn't have a Bible for yourself. How many of you guys have more than one Bible in your house? You own more than one Bible? I know I do. Tell you about this guy, Tyndale. The night before he was to be taken to the stake and burned at the stake, some of his friends came, and they were talking to him, trying to encourage him, give some encouraging words. He finished eating his meal. He pushed the meal to the side. There was a candle burning. He put his finger on the candle and let it burn to the bone, and he held it up, and he said, if I have to suffer for Christ, so be it. Come on now. God's call on discipleship has never changed. It's never changed. If we have to lose our life, then we're supposed to lose our life. Is that our heart set? Is that our mindset? Today, it has to be. It helps put things in perspective for me. Chris, how you living your life day by day? Is Christ really your all? Is that song? You're all I want. You're all I ever needed. Is that true? Or are you just saying those words? That's what he expects. That's what he demands. The Word of God says it. Last point. We must deny ourselves daily. Daily. Turn to Mark chapter 8. You had the invitation. Mark 8:34. God's invited you. He's asked you, are you willing to count the cost? Are you willing to love me more than anything? A couple more things, though. I need for you to deny yourself. Let's read that. Mark 8, 34 through 38. Chapter 8, verse 34 through 38. And when he had called the people, remember that word called is invited. When he invited the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires, do you desire to come after me, let him deny himself. Before you can deny, before you can take up your cross, before you can follow him, you have to have a desire. Do you desire to be with Jesus Christ today? That's what it takes to be his disciple. I use football again. I'm a football coach. I love the sport. But kids who don't have a desire to play football won't make it. Football is a tough sport. Have you ever checked it out? Have you ever broke football down to the bare minimum? You want me to tell you what it is? Two men in some gear running to each other as hard as they can. See who can stand. That's what it is. And some people, some fools love it. I'm one of those fools. I love it. I think it builds character. It builds perseverance, endurance, a lot of things. It teaches you about family. But when you break it down to its bare minimum, you run it, bam, get back up, do it again, bam, do it for four quarters. I love the coach. I love watching those kids do it. I used to do it. But if they don't have a desire to play football, they won't make it. The average high school kid doing the summer, they're at the beach, hanging out here in San Diego, traveling. You know what our kids do? They lift weights, they run. They get up at 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. During the school year, twice a week, they're at the school at 6:15 lifting weights. You got to be crazy to do that or have a desire. Or have a desire. Do you have a desire to follow Christ? It's not some easy thing. I don't know who told you about Christ. It's not some easy thing. Accepting him is easy, but once you accept him, you get on his team, you go through some stuff. You go through some stuff. But if you go back to the basics, to that desire, he'll pull you through. But those who don't have a desire, just like in football, you know what they do? They quit and they run away. They quit and they run away. This is more than I thought it was going to be. I'll see you later, Coach Chris. I'm out of here. Hold up. Are you sure, please? No, I'm gone, man. It's too much for me. You can't do that when you're talking about your soul, though. That's why I tell you, I don't like quitting. I hate quitting because I know that that'll keep on happening. You get used to when hard times come, running away from them, that lasts a lifetime. When you're talking about your soul, you can't do that, remember? How can a man put his hand to the plow, be fit for the kingdom of God while looking back? It's too hard. I can't do it. No, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You got to believe it. It starts with that desire, though. Now, if you got that desire, I got to share some stuff with you. You got the desire? Okay, this is what you got to do. Read again. Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed, even when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Very clear. Very clear. Is Christ your everything? Are you willing to deny yourself? Or you might lose out on a $10,000 pay increase, $20,000 pay increase. You might not be able to live in a $350,000 house. You might not be able to drive the car that you wanted to drive. But if it's to win a person to Christ, if it's to keep you away from falling because God knows everything, are you willing to deny yourself? We got to keep it real. What does it really mean to be a disciple of Christ? Because the world is dying to change. But we're too much like the world. I'm going to try to chop this quote up. One of the ladies who works here on staff, she formerly was at Horizon, and she had a sheet on her wall and said, Christians make extraordinary comments while living extraordinary comments while living ordinary lives. We're good for doing that. We talk the talk, but we don't walk it. It's time for us to stand up. Because truthfully, it's a good chance that we don't belong to him, according to these scriptures. Turn to Philippians chapter 1. Denying yourself. Great guy to look into when you're talking about denying himself. Look at the Apostle Paul. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Once again, I don't know your heart. I don't know your mindset. I don't know you. I don't hang out with you guys enough to know where you are. I just ask that you would examine yourself. Paul asks us that in the book of Corinthians, to examine ourselves, to see if we are with Christ. Just examine yourself. Look at Paul's heart right here in verse 21, Philippians chapter 1. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Very simple. If I'm going to live here on earth, I'm going to bring as many people to Christ as possible. If I die, if the Lord takes my life, that's gain. I'm trying to get there. I'm not there yet. I ain't going to lie. To die is gain. To lead this world is gain. That's a tough cookie to accept, but it's the way we're supposed to be. Period. Very simple. To live as Christ, to share him, to bring people to him, to die is gain, because this is not our home. You've been hearing that a lot, huh? This is not our home. You probably think, man, I ain't never seen that in the Bible. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3. Last service, I had a chance to read all of it. Today, on this service, I'm only going to read verse 20. Philippians 3:20. Philippians 3:20, talking about denying yourself. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a citizen of heaven. That's where your house is at. Not here. Not here. Praise God for that. So this is jacked up. At the 911, I bet someone was like, whoa, man, our military came and protect us. What is going on? This is not your home. If you die in a battle for Christ, amen, you're going to something better. If you don't know him, whoa. The Bible says it's hell to pay. I don't want to see no one here go to hell. And I don't even know all of you. I don't want to see no one go to hell. I don't want to see my worst enemy go to hell. You know why? That's eternity separated from Christ. We don't understand that. To be eternally separated, not a day, not 2 days, not 20 years, not 50 years, not double, you heard them double life sentences, double life, triple life. That has no comparison to eternity, not even triple life. Just imagine someone mercy one, we're going to give you triple life. Whoa! In comparison to eternity, no comparison, eternity. And you have all five senses. You're going to smell, you're going to see, you're going to hear. I don't want no one to go through that. In conclusion, read Matthew 7:21. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, verse 21 through 24. Talking about discipleship. What does it take to be a disciple? What does it take to be a disciple? You're a non-believer. You're still trying to figure it out. You're a believer, and you forgot what you were into. Let's be reminded. Here we go, Matthew 7, 21 through 24. This is deep. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name? Done many wonders in your name? And then, check this out. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Those three miracles right there, I've never done that. Not that I know of. Prophesied, cast out demons. Maybe I've done some wonders. But even through all that, he said, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I never knew you. Yeah, you knew of me. You used my name to do all these wonderful works. I'm Jesus. What you think? You think I'm not going to show up? My name is on the line. I have to show up or else I'm not God. Come on now. It's your problem, so you stuck on yourself. You've been stuck on yourself all your life. You thought you was doing something, but I'm here to tell you, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Discipleship is clear, not my words. The word of God. What does it mean to be a disciple? It's very clear, isn't it? We went over today. It's very clear what it takes, what it means to be a disciple. The question is, do we want that? Once again, I give you the scenario again. As a football coach, I let my kids know up front what it's going to take to be a Horizon football member. Here it is. Do you want it or do you not? This year we had quite a few who didn't. We started the season with varsity with 13 kids. Quite a few didn't accept it. Nothing I can do about it. You place the commitment out there. This is what it takes. This is what we're going to do. Do you want it? But you know what? The same thing is happening in the kingdom of God. The Bible says it very clearly. The harvest is plentiful. There's a lot of people out there need to be saved. But the laborers are what? We're not doing our job. We're not doing our job. The same Holy Spirit that's around doing Acts is the same Holy Spirit that's around today. We're just not abiding by it. Let's get back on task. If you go through and you study church history, during the Reformation periods, this was the basic point. The church, the people, were tired of listening to the clergy, strayed them away from God, and they got back to the basics. You know what the basics are? Getting into the Word of God. Believing it and doing it. What does it take? What does it mean to be a disciple? You need to accept the invitation. We're inviting you. You need to know the cost. You have to love Jesus more than anything. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. When we all stand before Christ, he's going to ask us this question. What did you do with the life I gave you? That I gave you? What did you do with it? I told you that you're only going to have a certain amount of years to live. What did you do with it? Did you serve me with it? My expectations were clear. Now, if you choose not to get into the Word of God, that's on you. But how God expects for us to live is right here. John 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. You want to hear from God? There it is. Then it says, last but not least, you need to deny yourself. Read you guys a couple of quotes from this book I'm reading from Charles Spurgeon, The Soul Winner. It's chapter 9, verse 180. The knife of affliction is sharp, but restorative. You cannot delight in it, but faith may teach you to value it. Here it is. Are you not willing to pass through every ordeal if by any means you may save some? That's what it's about. We have to understand our meaning here on earth. What are we here for? Make a lot of money, go go to the beach every day? No, we can do those things, but what is your purpose? What's your sole purpose? Win souls for the kingdom. Second one, listen to this. Charles Spurgeon, Soul Winner, chapter 9, page 181. We would do anything, be anything, give anything, and suffer anything if we might but bring you to Christ. Is that your heart today? You believers. Read that again. Are you willing to be anything, give anything, and suffer anything, do anything to bring someone to Christ? You know what? That's what he did. He loved you so much he gave his life for you. That's what we're supposed to do. We get caught up in this world. It's easy. I'm telling you, it's easy. Just because I'm preaching it don't mean I got it all together. But I can't, that can't stop me from telling the truth. Are you willing to do anything, be anything, give up everything you have to win a soul to Christ? That's what Jesus did. He laid his life down for us, all of it. Don't get caught up in this world. The devil's a liar. He's a killer. He's a murderer. And most importantly, God, he's a deceiver. He's here to deceive you. You ever have a piece of cake with a newspaper inside of it? Anyone set you up like that? They put the newspaper in there, they put icing on top of it, make it look like a cake, and you bite into it, like, this is paper! What? That's what he does. Make it look nice and sweet. But ultimately, he wants to deceive you because he already blew it. He was a top angel, the worshiper. He blew it. He wanted to be God, couldn't accomplish it. Now he wants to take as many of you in here to hell as possible. That's his job. Huh? You know it? A person who's miserable desires others to be miserable with them? That's him. Spiritual battle, spiritual attack we're under. What does it mean? What does it take to be a true disciple of Christ? Not super Christian, just to be part of the family. Just to be part of the team. It's been given to us clearly. Now the invitation. If you are not a believer, a lot of guys in here with these white shirts on, a lot of women around here who know I lead you to Christ, make sure you find them. They'll be out on the patio after church is over. You need to go with them. You need to accept Jesus Christ into your heart. If not, not because I say it, the Bible says it's hell to pay. I tell you, I don't want to see no one in this room go to hell because you've been presented with the gospel of Jesus Christ. What it takes to be on his team. I hope that everyone here is willing to count the cost and be part of that team. Encouragement for you believers. If we forgot, which we quite often do, we get, and just in that mode, we just go. We forget what our purpose here on earth. That's a reminder. We're here to win souls. Don't ever, ever forget it. We're here to win souls. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for you guys. Father, I thank you for allowing me to be here to share your words. I thank you, Lord, that your words are so true, that you love us. And I pray, Lord, for those souls out there that need to meet you. Give them the courage to stand up, Lord, for you, to come to know you, to be your child. Thank you so much for loving us and caring for us. And if there's anyone out there who desires to be saved, I pray that you just pray a simple prayer with me. Dear God, I am a sinner. I'm blowing it, and I need you to come into my life. I need your Holy Spirit to come inside of me and change me, to give me new life. I accept your son Jesus and his bloodshed as forgiveness for sin. And I thank you that I can now be considered your child. If anyone said that prayer, I ask you to stand up now. Don't be afraid. Stand up. If you know that you need Christ in your life, don't be ashamed. Anyone. True discipleship. There's one. Two. Anyone? It's life or death, you guys. I was out there in the NFL trying to make money. Living a life. That's not it. You know today you need Jesus. This is no joke. There's no joke. Trust me. There's no joke. I had so many other things I could do today, but nothing was more important than come sharing to you about what it means to be a disciple of Christ. One more. Anyone. for those of you who stood, if you could come down to the front. Come on down. Walk on to the front. Let's welcome them to the body.
Right here. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
How you doing, man?
Amen, brother. Amen. 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 Amen.
You guys can go to either side. There'll be pastors waiting for you on either side of the podium. On either side, there'll be people outside waiting for you. That's what it's about, you guys. That's what life's about. That's what I live for. I hope that's what we live for. I'm going to pray you guys out. Have a great day. Take that message with you and share Christ with the world. Lord, take us out today. You be in control of us. Lead us and guide us. Bless this congregation, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray.